In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Sexagesima Sunday. We are progressing closer towards the penitential season of Lent, and our Holy Mother, the Church, presents us with St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, I believe, where he is telling us of all the sacrifices that we have to make, or that he has made, and that our glory is in our weakness, because truly it is Christ who is our strength. It is Christ who lifts us up. It is Christ who is to be praised, so that any good that you see in us, it is the work of Christ. Any evil that you see in us, it is not the work of God, but it is our own fallen nature. It is our own weakness. And our Lord is giving a parable in today's gospel that I find very well parallels the epistle that we've heard from St. Paul. The word of God comes, it falls upon the souls of all men. Some receive it well, but the majority do not receive it well. They have obstacles in the way of this seed taking root and germinating and producing fruit. And the obstacles can be varied. There are many. It can be our own fallen nature. It can be the devils. It can be the temptations, the suggestions of the world around us. Our own weakness. But to be good soil, to allow the word of God to come and take root in our hearts, we must be humble. We must receive the word of God in all humility and all nothingness. It's very much like if you want to build something, you must first knock down whatever is there in the way. You want to plant a field, you must first mow down all the weeds, till the soil, rake it smooth, and now it is ready. So it is in our lives, our spiritual lives. If we want to make progress, it is time to knock down all the obstacles. If we stick to the parable of our Lord in today's gospel, we need to pull up all the stones. We need to soften the earth. We need to pull out all the weeds, all the thorns, all the thistles. We need to detach ourselves from the world, for the riches and the cares of this world are the thorns that are going to choke the word of God out of us. We have all these obstacles, and now, St. Paul would tell us, is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for us to begin preparing our souls to receive the word of God, to receive Christ, so that he can lift us up, so that he can do good things within us. But unless we're willing to put in the work, unless we're willing to cooperate, there is really nothing that God can do for us. You say, but God can do everything. Yes, God can do everything. But he has given us a free will, and he respects that free will. He invites us. He doesn't force us into heaven. He's not going to make us go to heaven. He wants us there. He will do everything he can, short of forcing our wills to get us there, but we have to cooperate. We have to do our part. And that begins by humbling ourselves, recognizing our nothingness, bearing our soul, if you will, like the farmer will bear the field. He will take out all the grass, all the weeds, all the brush, all the rocks, turn it over so that it is nothing but bare ground. So we must clear the way of our souls to receive Christ. Stop seeking after the riches and the cares of this world. Stop seeking the pleasures of this world. Stop listening to the devils. And you say, but what about that one or this one? As I believe I mentioned last week, we don't need to compare ourselves with anybody else. Our comparison is with Christ. Don't worry what your neighbor's doing. We're not lemmings. You don't have to do what your neighbor does. You need to do what Christ does. You need to follow Christ. Not this one or that one, but Christ in all truth and all humility. What is it that Christ wants me to do? He's given me the faith. He's given me the Catholic Church. Here's what I must do. And immediately the temptation is for us to point and say, well, what about him? Is this one getting away with something that I'm not getting away with? Maybe it would be more convenient if I just hid from the householder into last week's gospel. Just hide from the householder until the 11th hour and then come out and I only have to work 1 hour. That would be great. Then I don't have to do anything all day long. And we become envious of those who only had to labor 1 hour. We should not envy their misfortune. They only had 1 hour to serve God. And God is offering us the rest of our life. And hopefully the rest of our life is going to be more than 1 hour. But let us not envy one another. Let us not hate one another. But at the same time, let us not be deceived by one another and fall into the trap. We can recognize the heresies, the evils around us. We recognize those who have fallen into these errors. And it's a very delicate balance that we have to hold to. We have to love our neighbor. We have to love our enemy. We have to love those who persecute us. We have to love those who hate us, those who wish to harm us. We must love them. We must pray for them. We should ask God to forgive them. You say, well, then maybe I could become like them. And say, no, that's where you have to stop. We're not called to imitate them. We're called to pray for them. We can't hate them, but we cannot follow them. Somewhere in the middle there, we have to balance loving our neighbor, but yet not encouraging them in their evil, not following them in their evil, but to love them enough to keep the lines of communication open, to love them enough to say, the door is open. I'm not going to follow you into error. I'm not going to follow you into sin. But I still love you. I still pray for you. I still want you to be saved because God wants you to be saved. And I've heard people tell me, oh, well, so-and-so is complete evil. They're a devil in human flesh. I say, wait, wait, wait. If they were completely evil, they would already be in hell. The fact that they're still here breathing the same air with you and me tells me that God doesn't think they're pure evil yet. Or that God has some plans for them and they are some use to God right now. Maybe it's so that we can be patient. We can practice virtue. We can truly imitate Christ and love our enemy. Love those who do evil. That doesn't mean we condone their evil or that we encourage their evil. But it means that we want them to be saved. We don't want to give them enough rope so that they hang themselves and dig a pit too deep that they can't get out of. But at the same time, we have to be careful we don't fall into the pit with them. Love one another. Do good to one another. There's no cause to envy each other. Any good you see in your neighbor, that is God's work. Any evil that you see, that is on them. Pray that God's work will take over their soul. But we must not spend too much time looking at our neighbor, comparing ourselves to our neighbor. St. Paul tells us that's foolish talk. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they children of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? So am I. But I speak as a fool. For I am not these things by my own worth, my own value. The good that you see in me is from God. I'm a weak, mortal man. Tempted and tried just like everyone else. I do not glory in these things as if they were from myself. I glory in them as gifts from God. But yet now I must hang my head in shame because of my failures, because of my weakness. And this is my shame, that I have not been able to bear the cross patiently, kindly, cheerfully, that I have resisted the graces of God. To this is my shame. There is no glory in that. But there is glory in the fact that Christ has come because of my weakness. He has come to transform me. And his transformation within me, the graces that God has given to me, this is his glory, his honor. So as we're drawing closer to the Lenten season, it's time for us to look inside ourselves. And humility is truth. We often think humility is self-abnegation. We beat ourselves down. We tell ourselves we're nothing. But to deny the graces, the gifts that God has given us would be a lie. And that is not the truth, and that is not humility. If I am truly humble, I must acknowledge the good that God has put within me, as well as the evil that I have put within my own life. And to be wise enough to balance them both out. Wise enough to know that I have to tear down my own pride and vanity, my self-love, my love for pleasure and the things of this world. I need to plow that field. I need to tear out of my soul the weeds, the grass. I need to turn over my soul to expose that nothingness, that bare soil that is ready to receive the word of God. Allow it to take root, to give it warmth and nurturing, all the nutrients it needs in my nothingness, to allow God to do everything within me. If we allow him to take root, he will produce fruit 100-fold within our souls. And again, it will not be anything we can be proud of or that we can boast of. But we will boast of Christ. I have allowed Christ to come and grow within me. The good that you see within me is his work, not mine. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.